Welcome to Learning English from the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver. On the show today, we listen to an excerpt of another interview from the American Academy of Achievement podcast, What It Takes. We also hear part three of Edgar Allan Poe's story, The Murders in the Rue Morgue. A little later, I'll tell you about celebrations planned in America for the Indian holiday Diwali, or the Festival of Lights. And Dan Friedel brings us an update on an American congressman who was seriously wounded in a shooting attack several months ago. But first, here is Phil Dierking.
Western countries again top Reuters' yearly list of the world's most innovative universities. The media group ranks educational centers based on scientific gains, invention of new technologies, and success in new markets and industries. Reuters says Asian countries will definitely be a powerful force in the future world economy. But it says Western countries still produce the most influential research, leading to the most useful technologies. Stanford University is number one on Reuters' list for the third straight year. The private school is found in the heart of California's Silicon Valley, and not by chance. The university played a big part in creating the area. Stanford is known for leading technology development, especially related to the internet. It was a Stanford professor who designed the internet's basic communication system. In addition, former Stanford students have founded some of the biggest tech companies in the world, including Google, Intel, Hewlett-Packard, and Netflix. The top 10 on the list is much the same as last year. Nine universities return to the highest positions. Most are large, well-established universities located in the United States. The second and third highest-ranked schools are MIT and Harvard. Like Stanford, they have also held the same ranking for the past 3 years. In fourth place is the University of Pennsylvania, which climbed four spots from number eight last year. Two of the top 10 are outside the U.S. Belgium's KU Leuven comes at number five. The almost 600-year-old university is one of the largest independent research and development organizations on the planet. A South Korean university, KAIST, comes next. The South Korean government established the school in 1971. Officials modeled KAIST after engineering schools in the United States. Most classes are taught in English, and the United States Agency for International Development provided a multi-million-dollar loan to help get KAIST started. The top 100 positions on the list are filled by 51 universities in North America, 26 in Europe, 20 in Asia, and 3 in the Middle East. Why are there so few Asian universities on the list? One reason is because Japanese universities, traditionally the strongest research schools in Asia, depend heavily on government support. Japan's economic growth has slowed over the last 20 years, providing less money for research as a result. The Index Service Web of Science found a recent drop in publication of Japanese research. The organization says Japanese researchers were responsible for 8.4% of all scientific papers published in 2005. In 2015, the percentage had dropped to 5.2%. Reuters' 2017 rankings reflect that decline in research and development. The University of Tokyo, for example, fell 5 places to number 21 on the list. Osaka University is now number 24. Last year, it was 11th. And Keio University went from 53rd in 2016 to 78th this year. Kyushu University, at 68th place, was Japan's only school to rise on the list. Last year, it ranked 79th. China's representation on the list has grown. In 2015, only one Chinese university was ranked. Last year, two made it. Now, there are three. The two Chinese universities returning to the list also saw their positions rise. Tsinghua University climbed 15 spots to number 51, and Peking University went from 70th to 60th. Zhejiang University appears on the list for the first time at number 100. The 100 schools were chosen after examining each candidate on different metrics, including academic papers and patent filings. They were ranked based on their performance. The ranking system groups all departments in a university together. This means extremely innovative individual departments or programs could be overlooked. And remember, even the lowest ranked university on the Reuters list is a member of a highly exclusive group. I'm Phil Dierking.
More and more people in America are celebrating the Indian holiday Diwali. Diwali is Hindi for row of lights. It is the most important holiday in India. Although it began as a Hindu observance, almost everyone in the country celebrates the Festival of Lights. Many people around the world are beginning to as well. The United States is one of the places where the festival is becoming more common. Diwali celebrations can now be found at American landmarks like Disneyland in California and New York City's Times Square. They are also held in many parks and museums. Nita Basine established the Times Square event. She said Indian immigrants have found great success in America. But she said many Americans still do not know much about India. So she decided to act. I felt it's about time that we should take India to mainstream America and showcase India's rich culture, heritage, arts, and diversity to the world, she said. And I couldn't find a better place than the center of the universe, Times Square. Basine came to the United States from India 40 years ago. She is president of ASB Communications, the marketing firm behind Diwali at Times Square. Tens of thousands of people attend the event, now in its fourth year. The 2017 celebration takes place October 7th. There will be dance performances, Bollywood singers, a marketplace for Indian food and goods, and, of course, a lighting ceremony. In India, Diwali is a 5-day harvest festival held just before the Hindu New Year. The exact dates change from year to year, but Diwali is always in the fall. Celebrations include lighting oil lamps or candles called diyas. The lights represent, in Basin's words, a victory of knowledge over ignorance, light over darkness, good over evil. A Diwali celebration will light up Disney California Adventure Park in Anaheim this year. Visitors can watch performances of traditional Indian dances and take part in a Bollywood dance party. The event is part of a Festival of Holidays program at the theme park to show cultural traditions from around the world. The program takes place November 10th through January 7th. San Antonio, Texas also holds a Diwali celebration, and it is one of the nation's largest, with more than 15,000 people in attendance each year. The 2017 festival takes place November 4th at La Villita, a historic arts village. It will be the city's 9th Diwali celebration. Visitors can enjoy Indian dance, food, and fireworks. Organizers also plan to float hundreds of lighted candles in the San Antonio River, along the city's famous Riverwalk. Now, we listen to part of an interview with famed blues musician B.B. King. You can find the complete podcast and others like it on our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
Then I'd go to town on Saturday after I get through my tractor. Sit on the street corners with my little guitar. I had a little red Stella guitar, and I'd play. And I'd sing, starting with gospel all the time. Sing me a gospel song, and people would... And I guess I was kind of smart in a way, because I knew where the white people passed and the black people passed. So I sit right at that corner. Well, the white folks had to pass me going this way and that way, and the black folks passed me going this way and that way. So some of all would stop, listen to me, because I guess I made enough noise. I had my big hat sitting down there, or a bucket or something, for them to put tips in. And people that would ask me to play a request a song, when I finished playing it, if it was a gospel song, they would pat me on the head and the shoulders, and they would applaud me. Boy, that was nice. Keep it up. You're going to be good one day. But they didn't put nothing in the hat. But people would ask me to play a blues, would always put something in the hat. Now you know I'm a blues singer.
Everybody wants to know why I sing. Yes, I say everybody wanna know why I sing the blues. Well, I've been around a long time. I really have paid my dues. When I first got the blues, they brought me over on a ship. Men were standing over me, and a lot more with the whip. And everybody wanna know why I sing.
Steve Scalise returned to the United States Capitol building on Thursday. Scalise, a Louisiana native, is part of the Republican Party leadership in the U.S. House of Representatives. On the morning of June 14th, he and other lawmakers were up early and preparing for a big event, the yearly congressional baseball game. They were working out on a baseball field in Alexandria, Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C. The practice was just coming to an end when gunshots rang out. Scalise was shot in the hip. The shooter was identified as James Hodgkinson of Illinois. Scalise was badly injured. Doctors operated on him a number of times to repair bones, blood vessels, and internal organs. He missed work for over 3 months. When he returned on Thursday, Scalise needed crutches to move around, but he was happy to get back to work. Scalise said, "You have no idea how great this feels. In a year when U.S. politicians have had trouble agreeing on many issues, House members agreed that Scalise should get a hearty welcome. They all rose to their feet and clapped loudly. Some lawmakers walked over to Scalise and gave him a hug. Later, he said, "I'm definitely a living example that miracles do happen." Scalise thanked the U.S. Capitol police officers who were on duty in Alexandria on the day of the shooting. Crystal Griner and David Bailey were also injured in the attack. They fired back and killed Hodgkinson. Scalise told Bailey, "You are my hero. You saved my life. Thank you so much." In a video, Scalise was shown walking slowly, holding crutches in both arms. He said he feels great, but still has a lot of work to do before he returns to full health. The congressional baseball game raises money for charitable causes. It has been played most years since 1909, with Republican members of Congress playing congressional Democrats. The game is one way the politicians get to know each other outside of debating issues. The Democrats won the 80th congressional game the day after Scalise was shot. I'm Dan Friedel.
The Murders in the Rue Morgue by Edgar Allan Poe. Part 3.
My housemate in Paris, Auguste Dupin, was an interesting young man with a busy, forceful mind. This mind could, it seemed, look right through a man's body into his deepest soul. After reading in the newspaper about the terrible murder of a woman and her daughter, Dupin was consumed with the mystery. He questioned the ability of the Paris police to solve the crime. I told Dupin that it seemed to me that it was not possible to explain the strange details surrounding the killings.
"No, no. I think you are wrong. A mystery it is, yes. But there must be an answer. There must. Let us go to the house where it happened and see what we can see. I know the head of the police, and he will permit our visit. It will be interesting and give us some pleasure."
I thought it strange that Dupin thought the activity would give us pleasure. But I said nothing. It was late in the afternoon when we reached the house on the Rue Morgue. It was easily found, for there were still many persons, in fact a crowd, standing there looking at it. Before going in, we walked all around it, and Dupin carefully looked at the neighboring houses as well. I could not understand the reason for such great care. Finally, we entered the house. We went up the stairs to the room where the daughter's body was found. Both bodies were in the room now. The police had left the room as they had found it in every other way. I saw nothing beyond what the newspaper had told us. Dupin looked with great care at everything, at the bodies, the walls, the fireplace, the windows. Then we went home. Dupin said nothing. I could see the cold look in his eyes, which told me that his mind was working busily, quickly. Dupin said nothing about our exploration until the next morning, when he suddenly asked me a question.
Did you not notice something especially strange about what we saw at the house on the Rue Morgue?
Nothing more than what we both read in the newspaper, which was unusual indeed. How shall we explain the horrible force, the unusual strength used in these murders? And whose were the voices that were heard? No one was found except the dead women. Yet there was no way for anyone to escape. And the wild condition of the room, the body which was found head down in the chimney, the terrible broken appearance of the body of the old lady with its head cut off. These are all so far from what might be expected that the police are standing still. They don't know where to begin.
These things are unusual indeed, but they are not deep mysteries. We should not ask what has happened, but what has happened that has never happened before. In fact, the very things that the police think cannot possibly be explained are the things which will lead me to the answer. Indeed, I believe they have already led me to the answer.
I was so surprised that I could not say a word. Dupin looked quickly at the door.
I am now waiting for a person who will know something about these murders, these wild killings. I do not think he did them himself, but I think he will know the killer. I hope I am right about this. If I am, then I expect to find the whole answer today. I expect the man here, in this room, at any moment. It is true that he may not come, but he probably will.
But who is this person? How did you find him?
I'll tell you. While we wait for this man we do not know, for I have never met him, while we wait, I will tell you how my thoughts went.
Dupin began to talk, but it did not seem that he was trying to explain to me what he had thought. It seemed that he was talking to himself. He looked not at me, but at the wall.
It has been fully proved that the voices heard by the neighbors were not the voices of the women who were killed. Someone else was in the room. It is therefore certain that the old woman did not first kill her daughter and then kill herself. She would not have been strong enough to put her daughter's body where it was found, and the manner of the old lady's death shows that she could not have caused it herself. A person can kill himself with a knife, yes, but he surely cannot cut his own head almost off, then drop the knife on the floor and jump out the window. It was murder then, done by some third person or persons. And the voices heard were the voices of these persons. Let us now think carefully about the things people said about those voices. Did you notice anything especially strange in what was told about them?
Well, yes. Everybody agreed that the low voice was the voice of a Frenchman. But they could not agree about the high voice.
Ah, that was what they said, yes. But that was not what was so strange about what they said. You say you have noticed nothing that makes their stories very different from what might have been expected. Yet, there was something. All these persons, as you say, agreed about the low voice, but not about the high, hard voice. The strange thing here is that when an Italian, an Englishman, a Spaniard, and a Frenchman tried to tell what the voice was like, each one said it sounded like the voice of a foreigner. How strangely unusual that voice really must have been. Here are four men from four big countries, and not one of them could understand what the voice said. Each one gave it a different name. Now, I know that there are other countries in the world. You will say that perhaps it was the voice of someone from one of those other lands. Russia, perhaps. But remember, not one of these people heard anything that sounded like a separate word.
Here, Dupin turned and looked at me.
This is what we have learned from the newspaper. I don't know what I have led you to think, but I believe that in this much of the story, there are enough facts to lead us in the one and only direction to the right answer. What this answer is, I will not say. Not yet. But I want you to keep in mind that this much was enough to tell me what I must look for when we were in that house on the Rue Morgue. And I found it. What did I first look for? The path of escape, of course. I mean, we agree the killers were not ghosts. They could not move through walls. So, how did they escape? At first, I saw no way out. It had been necessary for the neighbors to break down the door in order to enter the room. There was no other door. The opening above the fireplace is too narrow for even a child to go through. That leaves only the windows. We must make that exit somehow possible. Remember, there are two windows in the room. Both of them, you will remember, are made of two parts. To open the window, one must lift up the bottom half. One of these windows is easily seen. The lower part of the other is out of sight behind the big bed. I looked carefully at the first of these windows. It was firmly closed, fastened like the door on the inside. To keep the window closed, to fasten it, someone had put a strong iron nail into the wood at the side of the window in such a way that the window could not be raised. At least it seemed that the nail held the window closed. The nail was easy to see. There it was. And the people who discovered the killings used their greatest strength and could not raise the window. I, too, tried to raise the window and could not. I went to the second window and looked behind the bed at the lower half of the window. There was a nail here, too, which held the window closed. Without moving the bed, I tried to open this window also, and again, I could not do so. But I did not stop looking for an answer there.
That's all the time we have for today's show. But we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Hope you return too. For VOA Learning English, I'm Katie Weaver. Thanks for listening.